Good morning, welcome to church. Also welcome to those who are joining us online, and a happy Mother's Day to the mothers as well. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage today. We are going through Proverbs chapter 31 on the topic of an excellent wife. It is a passage that is meant to be an inspiration and encouragement to women everywhere. We're going to see how and why that is. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for their care, for their love, and for what they've taught us. And Lord, we pray that as we look at Proverbs 31 today, that we may see how you value and call women to be people who honour you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what makes an excellent wife? What makes an excellent mother? It's not such an easy question, is it? You ask people in our community what makes an excellent wife or mother, and you would probably get all sorts of opposite answers and probably quite a bit of judgment as well. An excellent mother is a stay-at-home mum. No, an excellent mother works full-time. No, an excellent mother works part-time because they get to do both. An excellent mother sends her kids to public school. No, an excellent mother sends her kids to private school. No, an excellent mother homeschools. There are all sorts of debates about how mothers should feed their kids, how they should put their kids to sleep, how they should discipline their kids or vaccinate their kids or not vaccinate their kids. Being an excellent wife, an excellent mother, can be really hard to navigate in this world. And sometimes it seems like you have to choose whose eyes you want to be a good mother in. Does the Bible have anything encouraging to say into this space? Does God have any ideas himself on what makes an excellent wife or mother? Or is God just one more voice to please as far as that is concerned? Well, today what we're going to see is God's encouragement to wives and mothers, and we are going to see it from Proverbs chapter 31. The beginning of the section, which we didn't read, it's actually in Proverbs 31, verse 1. It starts with the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. Now, we don't know much about King Lemuel. This is the only time he appears in the Bible, but it doesn't really matter because the focus really isn't on him, but on the advice that his mother gives him. It's not a bad lesson to take away straight at the beginning here, even. Listen to your mother. Even a king like Lemuel had to. But notice that Proverbs 31 doesn't call itself advice. It doesn't call itself motherly advice. It calls itself an oracle. And that basically means this is the word of God, that the God of the universe is speaking through this woman as she teaches her son. And so the lesson isn't just listen to your mother. The lesson is also listen to this mother, because her words are the words of God. And the particular instruction that she is giving her son here is, who is the ideal wife for a king? Who should Lemuel be looking for in a wife? And as we go down the list in Proverbs 31, all of these characteristics, I want to share with you two things that we can take away from Proverbs 31. One is an encouragement, and one might be a bit of a discouragement, but we'll see. And so firstly, Proverbs 31 encourages all mothers. It encourages mothers of all types, because as we read through this passage, we see that this ideal woman is a woman who does everything. Listen with me, or have a look with me at Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 21. An excellent wife who can find? She is a far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She is a supportive wife to her husband. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is a worker. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She is a provider for her family. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She's a property investor. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She exercises. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She produces good quality work and she's a bit of an environmentalist. She makes her own clothes. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is charitable. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She prepares for the future and wears respectable clothing. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She brings honor to her husband. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. She runs her own business. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She is content, cool, calm, collected. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's a teacher of wisdom and morality. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She keeps her home. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. She makes her family proud. And then the last two verses, a summary. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And so you see here is a woman in Proverbs 31 who plays all of these different roles, and that is meant to be an encouragement, I think. Because God is saying here that all of these different activities are honourable pursuits for women. Now, it seems to go against the idea, I think, that if you're a woman, there is only one track that you should go down, one legitimate track, and if you're not going down that track, you're doing it wrong. If you're the kind of person who says a woman must be a housewife, well, here's a woman who works. You say a woman has to stay at home and not be seen, well, here is a woman who is working in the marketplace. Here is a woman who does all sorts of things. I heard from a young Christian woman once at another church. She said that she wanted to do something with her life other than wear an apron and bake cookies. Well, good news. You know, God is saying here that there is nothing wrong with that. You know, also notice that there are some things here that some people think are traditionally masculine domains, but they're not. Being a worker, being a provider, being physically strong. In Christian circles, there's this running joke about the pinnacle of male attractiveness, being stacking chairs after church. You know, it's meant to be that combination of strength and servanthood. But here you look at verse 25, it says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Stacking chairs is a mark of female attractiveness as well. And so as a first step in response to Proverbs 31, I think what we should be doing is thanking God for the ways in which our mothers have lived this out. And I suspect it's going to be different for different people. There are some things represented in some mothers more than others, but that's okay. And if you are a mother or a wife, be encouraged that there is no strict and restrictive template that you have to follow in order to be the ideal woman. It's not like that. There are many varied and honourable pursuits for women. Proverbs 31 encourages all mothers and encourages them in all sorts of pursuits. But that encouragement in all sorts of pursuits can also be a double-edged sword, can't it? It can be a discouragement as well. Because if you are a wife or a mother, you're probably reading Proverbs 31. You're seeing the things that you do, but you're also probably seeing a lot of things that you don't do because of that variety. Maybe things that you're a little bit self-conscious about. Maybe things that you're worried that other people will point out as well. Maybe you feel pretty good about your work, but not so great about your family life. Or maybe you feel great about your family, but maybe not so great about your physical fitness. Or you feel fine with your fitness, but not so much about the charity work that you do. And so that leads us to the other thing that Proverbs 31 might do. Does Proverbs 31 discourage all women? Now you might think to yourself as you read this, wow, you know, if Lemuel's mother gave this advice on the ideal woman, Lemuel might have been waiting a long, long time. You know, when does this woman get any sleep? It actually says literally in the passage twice, I think. that she does not sleep, right? How do you do that? You often see the examples of the career women that are held up as examples of womanhood, don't you? Female CEOs of extraordinary successful companies and who are also wives and mothers, and they are used to support the argument that you can have everything as a woman. You can have the career and the marriage and the family and the hobbies and the lifestyle and the everything. You can have it all. And that's meant to inspire people. But for a lot of people, it does the opposite. Because, you know, you might be able to have that all if you're truly an exceptional person like them. But I think for the most part, for most people, sacrifices have to be made. And if you don't reach those heights, if you don't have it all, sometimes people can feel like they've failed. And so is Proverbs 31 like that? Is this a passage? Is this completely out of touch with real life? Is it just presenting an unrealistic high standard for women that they can never live up to? Kind of like an airbrushed or photoshopped picture, but here the airbrushing is not of appearance, but of lifestyle. Is that what Proverbs 31 is doing? Well, I think in order to understand this properly, we have to understand the book of Proverbs, and we have to understand, I think, Proverbs in general. Now, if I say to you, the early bird catches the worm, you might say to me, well, you know, that's not always the case. There are some people who do wake up early who are not successful, and there are some people who do wake up late who are successful, but generally it's correct, isn't it? You know, the ideal is to have the discipline to wake up early and be hardworking, and generally that leads to success. Same if I said to you, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. You might say to me, well, you know, sometimes you don't want to do what the Romans do, especially if what they're doing is wrong. The Romans killed Jesus. You're not going to do that when you're in Rome. But it's a general principle, right? And the general ideal is that if you follow the customs of wherever it is you're at, you are more likely to get along with people. And the book of Proverbs in the Bible is like that. It's a book of ideals. It's a book of what life should be like. And it sets that before us as something to aspire to. But it also does that with the full understanding that our lives are messy and that our experience of reality often doesn't match up to the ideal. And in that way, I think the book of Proverbs perfectly reflects the character of our God. We have a God who is holy, righteous, and good. He speaks to us his ways that are good. He calls us to live lives that are good. But when we fail, and we do lots and lots and lots of times, God knows. And he still loves. And he still forgives. And he does not hold it against us. And the reason why he can do that is because he sent his son Jesus to die for us, so that we might forever be right with him. And so Proverbs is that side of the life. It's the ideal. It's a book of ideals, not so much a book of reals. It's kind of like a lighthouse beacon on the edge of the sea. God's wisdom is kind of like that beacon. It draws us toward it with an attractive force. We are meant to move toward the light, but we're not meant to become the light. We're not meant to be identical to the light. That's what God's word does. And so, yes, Proverbs 31 encourages all mothers, but it's not meant to discourage any mother at all, nor is it meant to condemn any mother. And no one has the right to judge any mother for how much she does or doesn't live up to this. This is an ideal which calls us, not a judge that condemns us. And so I think how Proverbs 31 speaks into this world where there are lots of disagreements about what makes an excellent wife, an excellent mother, is that God shows us that excellence as a mother might be a lot more varied and diverse than we think. Wives and mothers are encouraged in all sorts of activities, and chances are your mother has done some of these really well. And so this Mother's Day, thank her for that, and thank God for that. I'm also conscious, though, that there are some people for whom Mother's Day is really hard. People whose mothers have been much less than ideal and whose family history has been one of heartbreak. And if that's you, then I hope that you see from God's word that that is not what family is meant to be like. And I think that there is some comfort in knowing that, that even though we might never find perfect love in this world, God loves us with a perfect love, and we see that in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we've seen today the wisdom of God. We've seen today the word of God and how it calls us upwards, how it draws us to God. And so may that be what our mothers and wives and women in our congregation do. May that also be what we all do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your wisdom. We thank you that it calls us and draws us upward, that it leads us to greater and better things as we live it out in our lives. But Lord, also we know that our lives are not perfect, that they often fall far short of perfect, that they're often messy. And Lord, we thank you that in those times you have forgiveness for us. You have your great love and acceptance of us because your Son, Jesus Christ, has died for us. Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, we do thank you for our mothers and thank you for the times when they have been Proverbs 31 women, when they have lived those things out. Lord, we thank you for the good that they have done for us. And Lord, we thank you that we can see that. But Lord, for those who for whom Mother's Day is hard, Lord, we pray that your love and your grace and your mercy may be an encouragement, may be a reassurance to people who find it difficult. Lord, we pray that even though people may not have perfect families in this life, we pray that they may know that they have a perfect father in you and a perfect family in your church, and we can look forward to that when Jesus returns at the last day. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.